Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Wow, this Twitter story is absolutely massive. And I found it quite fascinating, the level of hysteria around it. And again, as I mentioned earlier, one would have thought that last week at this time, before Elon Musk bought Twitter, it was a garden of love, peace, happiness, and light. It wasn't. It was a toxic-filled wasteland. So I'm not sure why it's being touted as though Elon Musk is about to turn it into something negative from the Garden of Eden that it was. Well, let's get some more information. Bongani Sithole, tech analyst, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and good morning to your listeners. I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. It's fascinating to watch because, look, I don't really know what Elon Musk is going to do or isn't going to do, but the level of hysteria is making me a little concerned.
Yeah, because a lot of people have expressed that with his views that he has shared over the time, like, and even before, like, proposing to buy Twitter, he has expressed that, you know, he feels like this platform is being used to limit certain views of certain people, and that is not a healthy way to engage in debate. And he had promised, even after showing interest in buying Twitter, that, you know what, those regulations or those policies would be changed if he would buy Twitter. So the level of hysteria and uncertainty from people stems from the things he has expressed about the platform.
But in reality, it wasn't as though Twitter were doing a magnificent job of limiting hate speech anyway. When you've got people like the Ayatollah Khomeini calling for destruction, where you've got the level of hate that you already had on Twitter, it wasn't as though it was being particularly well managed. Maybe it was being managed after a fashion in a certain way, but certainly not. It certainly wasn't an example that we would aspire to.
Yes, a number of people would also like point out the hypocrisy within the platform, in regards that, you know, the harsher treatment would be given to people with a notable or large number of following on the platform, but small people who have like a fewer following wouldn't be necessarily be punished as much, and they would also spew some abuse or hate crime in a sense that they promote divisions in whatever politics that would be trending in those specific times. But Twitter took a route to rather punish like big notable people like your Donald Trumps and certain people that were very, very anti-Semitic in a way, and
Kanye,
who had a huge following of people on the platform.
Right, right. So it's going to be a question as to where it goes. Obviously, reports also suggesting that he's trying to find a way to recoup some of the money, to turn it into a profitable organization. $20, say they're talking about $20 a month to keep your blue tick is quite a lot of money.
It is, and Musk has expressed like a discomfort about like the platform only relying on advertising. He's also like looking at means of like having a subscription for almost each and every user. There's a feature that they have already called Twitter Blue. So you pay a specific amount of money each and every month, and then you get access to their advanced programs or features or products that they roll out. So say, for example, when they would launch the audio feature, they would launch it first to people who have Twitter Blue. So he expressed that he will also like focus on like launching more products and trying to attract people to subscribe to Twitter Blue.
Which in fact makes sense. You know, one of the confusing things certainly that I found about Twitter is I've tried to get verified on a number of occasions. There's no real process that you can understand. You just get this rejection when I report something for being either racist, anti-Semitic, whatever it is. You don't really know what's happening, who's making the decision. There's no, there's been no transparency. Even this subscription service that they've offered, it's been, you know, for a communication platform, it's actually been horrifically managed in terms of communication. There's so much noise. They've almost fallen into their own trap of what Twitter is, which is a lot of noise, and haven't communicated to their subscriber base clearly at all.
Yes. The idea of Twitter, it's all about like, it being like, it empowers like citizen journalism where people just can, report and share their values, ideas, or just debate on certain topics. But what I found very, as you've said, that, you know, it was very troublesome to find that, you know, there's no certain procedures and they are not expressed properly to users or the community of the world on how they get to decide whether something is offensive or whether how the steps are taken and are they, algorithms accurate enough to dictate that this is hate speech or is it properly followed through and who are the people who make the decisions behind the tech?
Do you think we'll see more transparency?
What Elon Musk has also expressed on his Twitter is that he truly believes that he wants to create a platform where civilization is important and they want to have a digital community where people are able to like debate their views in a healthy manner. In that statement, you can get the sense that probably he will be as expressive of the procedures in a manner of like how will it be done and if you violated what will happen and if people haven't been violated, what are the standards of that and why did they decide on that? But it's promising by the look of things.
Unfortunately, that is all that we have time for this morning. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Bongani Sithole, tech analyst, talking to us about the sale of Twitter.